WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie
good.
Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that. But
we have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are indeed tuned in to Monday Night Talk, coming to you straight from Broadcast House at 95.9 WATD, also home of 1460 AM WBMS. I believe it's also 101.1 on the repeater. We got a great show for you. Here we are just a couple of days since Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa to those who celebrate Kwanzaa, two ways at the end, of course. We have already joining us in studio, State Senator Mike Brady will be up right after we take a traffic break, so stay tuned for that. I will note to the folks out there who tease me about the intro, I'll have you know that two of the individuals that are in that intro are scheduled to be on the show. Now, does it mean that they'll both? I know one of them will be here. Will I be able to have the second one? We'll see. As I teased, right after traffic, we'll have State Senator Mike Brady will be joining us, and we get a chance to chat with him about his district, some of the changes, get a little bit of a year-end review from him, and maybe a gander look ahead. We'll do that. Now, I've kind of overlooked the key glue to the show. There's a gentleman who is going to be playing the role of co-host this evening, Mr. Mark Rocheteau.
Well, hello, Kevin. How are you?
Oh, good. Does this make your second co-hosting duty in the past 3 weeks?
It seems to be, yeah. I'm pushing, this is the second one, yes, in a month.
Any other shows you're going to infiltrate while you're here?
Negative. Okay. I feel good about this right now. I feel good about being the key glue.
Okay.
And Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Merry Christmas to you as well. So other than Mark, and we mentioned the state senator being here, Weymouth Mayor Bob Hedlund is scheduled to be on the Redidio show. He'll join us, get kind of a look-see into how things are going in the great town of Weymouth. Hour number two, Greg Handley. Greg Handley coming in wearing not one but two hats, Plymouth County Commissioner, and he is the town administrator in Holbrook. I don't know if we're necessarily going to be touching on either one of those topics. We might get into his thought on the county, year-end on the county. Also look ahead politically, not only for the county, but also for the state. Kind of get his, he's a man who follows politics, so we thought we'd have him in and talk about that. And then we end the show with the one and only Jerry Thornton. Jerry Barstool Sports, also best-selling author of not only one book, but two books, From Darkness to Dynasty, and Six Rings, Super Bowl History of the Patriots. Not many people know that there was a Five Rings book, but the Patriots won in such short order, he had to retool the book. So, so Jerry will be coming in, and we'll get Jerry's take on this New England Patriots team. If you haven't had a chance, you can do a little bit of studying before we get to his segment, as he did an excellent Week 16 knee-jerk reaction. And he talks about everything as to in regards to the New England Patriots, how they've been playing, and Mac Jones. So,
what week are we on right now? Are we on?
It's week 16.
Is it week 16?
It's week 16.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow. It has moved along.
Yeah. Don't forget they added a week.
Right.
Yeah. So those of you who are living in going, oh, they only got like one more game to go. No.
Three more, correct?
Yeah, two more.
Two more.
Two more.
Right. Okay.
So just keep that in mind. So we got that coming up in just a couple of minutes. After, like I said, after we check traffic. Did you have a chance to watch the game yesterday?
I did have a chance to watch the game yesterday. It was a little bit disheartening.
Was it now?
Yeah. Yeah, I expected a little more from the defense. I don't know what was going on.
Here's the problem, though. It was a divisional game.
I understand.
You cannot expect... You know, again, it's like expecting to... Oh, I mean, we usually handily beat the Jets because they haven't had their stuff in order in a long time. We could say Miami went, even at their worst, they've always found a way to at least win one of the two games.
Correct.
Let's not forget that the last game of the year for the Patriots is Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And Miami did actually beat them earlier this season at home.
They did.
And so we're going to have to do the impossible, the New England Patriots are. And going in, they got the Jaguars, who actually beat Buffalo this year, kind of stopped them right in the tracks.
And if I remember over the years, if there is a team to give you an end-of-the-season surprise, it's Miami.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always those games where they're up at the last minute, and then there's some kind of a razzle-dazzle play that they pull off, and they're able to run it back. And like, how the heck did that happen? That might have been last year or the year before. Past 2 years, they've had one of those plays.
Yeah, it's an occasional occurrence with the Miami Dolphins, which kind of has me on the edge of my seat a little bit. However, after yesterday's demonstration, I don't know.
If you put your mind at ease, it's already assured that they're going to have a winning season.
I feel good about this. I still done the math.
So in just a moment, we are going to check in with Renee Hamilton to find out what's happening out on the roadways. It's probably somewhat quiet. I think a lot of folks are probably taking the week off. What'd you say? What do you think, Senator? Was it easy getting over this?
It wasn't bad at all. The traffic, what a difference. You know, last year during COVID, it was practically very quiet on the highway, especially going into Boston. This year, even pre-holiday season, before Christmas, it was getting crazy out there. And the week of Christmas, as everyone knows, is nuts. But it wasn't bad today. And I did watch the news this morning where traffic wasn't too bad going into Boston. So.
Yeah, a lot of people kind of take this time off. Like, it's the summertime. Usually in the summertime, you have those instances where folks will take time off between July and the beginning of September, and traffic isn't that bad. So.
Right.
Exactly. Well, anyways, speaking of traffic, I believe if I can hear it well in my headphones, it's time for us to find out what's happening out on the roadways. Being brought to you on this end by Brennan's Smoke Shop, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, Weymouth, and now Hudson, New Hampshire. And to give us a final look-see at the roadways, we have Renee Hamilton. Renee, how are things out there?
Well, Kevin, you called it. It's a pretty quiet ride. We are just dealing with one trouble spot, and this report is sponsored by UPSJobs.com. The expressway northbound is stop and go from East Milton up towards Morrissey Boulevard, where a left lane breakdown just cleared. But from there, it's easy going the rest of the way into the city, and southbound, the expressway is a nice ride from the tunnel down to the split. No issues on the lower end of 93. That's all clear from Braintree to Canton and back. And 24 southbound is moving along at the speed limit down past 495. It's more of the same on Route 3 southbound, all clear in Braintree. No problems as you make your way down through Plymouth. And northbound is wide open as well. Nothing to worry about on the Cape. 6 and 28, they're both in good shape. Dear Team UPS, you did it again. The early mornings and nights, you did it for your family, community, country, delivering gifts to life-saving vaccines. You delivered what matters. Thank you to every UPSer. Traffic on the Nines every morning. I'm Renee in the WATD Traffic Center.
I don't think what I consider the other essential employees get enough praise or thank you for being in front of this pandemic, like, the whole time. Even police, firefighters, nurses, doctors need store clerks. Coffee shops, fast food restaurants, grocery store, hardware store, pharmacy, plumber, electrician, carpenters, truck drivers, warehouse workers. The list goes on and on of other essential employees that have been in front of this pandemic the whole time. From the bottom of my heart and on behalf of the millions that have and continue to depend on you, thank you so much. We wish you a very happy holidays. Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, Weymouth, Hudson, New Hampshire. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
We are back. Senator Mike Brady, our guest for this first segment. I'm watching a little, again, radio is not a visual medium, but that Stray Cats song, you were actually doing a little air guitar.
Absolutely.
Is that from your days in the council courts?
Well, even before that, I played in bands, never made any money. We used to play it on the ranch house in Marshfield. Unfortunately, that just got recently torn down, and they built one of those so-called McMansions there.
Oh.
It had been closed for quite some time, but that was on the road to Duxbury Beach. A lot of memories. If you brought 10 of your friends on a weekday night, they might give you a weekend gig. But I know Aerosmith played there, The Drive, The Lines, many much more famous bands than my bands. And
wow.
and they made some money playing there. We were lucky if we took care of local soda tap. So,
well, so you know, within your district, I believe that there are times that McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman, a fine sponsor of the show, actually does Irish sessions.
Yes.
On Tuesday night. Now, I don't know if they brought that back fully or not. I'll have to check. Maybe I'll check with Richie at some point in time. But that's an easy way for you to get in if you wanted to, get on the mic again.
Oh, yeah, great. And we can get some of our old Irish colleagues back up and doing a few tunes, especially with, as we come
Jimmy
into
Larkin,
the new year.
Get him.
Jim Larkin, and as we come into the new year, as we know, St. Patrick's Day is just a few months away, so.
My goodness. You blink and it goes by in an instant.
I know our good friend John Buckley has a thing in Abington where he used to do a function 6 months to St. Patrick's Day, and I think he had it this year.
No kidding.
A place called J.P. Ryan's. I wonder who owns that. I don't know.
I don't know. It's funny, but, if we happen to hear a voice that seems vaguely familiar to relations to that particular pub, fear not. It's only the one and only Greg Hanley who has found his way into the room. He's here a bit early, but that's okay. We have plenty of microphones, so we welcome him here. So, Greg, if you have something that you want to chime in on, that the Senators...
82 days to St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
There you go. Well, welcome, County Commissioner.
Well, thank you, Senator. Thank you for having me, and happy holidays to everyone. And thank you, Kevin, for always being around to share the wealth of information, the beacon that you are.
Indeed. And so let's get started. And we can do a hip hip hooray as... a friend of yours, we're talking Ireland, Irish, Claire Cronin, now an ambassador to Ireland. How's that feel?
It's a great honor. Somebody that grew up in Brockton, she, got married, moved to Easton, but her uncle, Mayor C. Gerald Lucy, was a former state representative, former mayor of Brockton, so she had big shoes to fill, but she's done a great job. First woman majority leader in the House of Representatives. And we're honored that she's going to be the ambassador to Ireland. Finally got confirmed recently in Congress and the U.S. Senate. But we're going to miss her. She's been a great leader in the Commonwealth and, as I mentioned, the first woman leader, majority leader in the House of Representatives. It's hard to believe it's taken this long to get a woman that plateau. But she's going to have a tough shoes to fill as she moves on, because that's a very important seat, and she delivered a lot to our Commonwealth and the South Shore where she represented. So we're going to miss her, but I know a lot of friends have already planned trips to Ireland. This is when the word get out before she even got confirmed. So I think Jake Cashman owns a castle near the embassy that has 43 bedrooms. So hopefully he's got room for the crew that's planning on going to Ireland.
Indeed. Well, it's worth noting that, that she was a legislative colleague of yours because you, Michelle Dubois, Jerry Cassidy, all representing the Brockton area. Yeah, there's other communities that are mixed in there. Your West and East Bridgewater's Easton, per se. But what's it like been working with her on things that are geared towards the district over the past many years?
Well, as I mentioned, being the majority leader, she was able to deliver much important legislation and funding to the district. She filed a bill to name... Jerry Cassidy filed a bill to name a new state building after her uncle, C.J. Reluce, and that finally went through the House and the Senate. And she's delivered a lot, and being in that powerful position, it's tough. We're losing her in Massachusetts as a colleague and a fellow state legislator, but good for her to be an ambassador to Ireland. I don't know of anybody else from the community of Brockton that has ever been nominated to be an ambassador. I know Brian Donnelly, at one point, who represented Brockton as a congressman, was supposed to be an ambassador to Ireland, and then things changed with that, and I think he got Trinidad and Tobago. But this is a great honor for her and her family, and hopefully, you know, and I know she's going to do well in this position. She had to go through a lot of hoops and whistles and everything else to get trained and properly vetted and so forth. And they do a background check and everything else, and she passed all everything with great endeavor, and I'm wishing her well. But we'll see what happens. That district is now going to change. So as my district changed in the Senate, we'll go over that. The House of Representative districts have changed between Jerry Cassidy, Representative Michelle Dubois, and Claire Cronin's district. That's going to be a whole new district.
When does she officially depart, and what is the plan to fill her seat?
Well, that's left up to the Speaker in the House of Representatives. I don't know what their plans are at this point. I know that she may get traveling to Ireland, and you know, after the first of the year, when is a big question. It all depends on when they approve everything. Everything's been voted on, but you know, the date is a big significant thing. And then we'll see what happens in the House. But for next year's redistricting, the district is going to change. It stays the same through this next fiscal year of 2022. But for 2023's new redistricting,
new legislative session.
Yeah, that's going to be a whole new district, and my district is changing. As we spoke about prior to me coming on, they were talking about making some of the towns whole, like the town of East Bridgewater. I represent every precinct but one. Senator Timothy represents the other precinct. Same with Northeastern. He represents everything but two precincts. I represent the other sections of Northeastern. Well, the chairman talked about making towns whole, and he did that. So I took over all of East Bridgewater. But then with the redistricting and some advocacy groups pushing for majority-minority districts, my district is going to change more. I'm going to be gaining the town of Avon and the southern end of Randolph. It's precincts basically 1 and 7, parts of that, and then all of existing precincts 2, 3, 4, and 5. So that's a slight change. Hanover will be in Senator John Keenan's district should he get reelected, and then Sue Moran is going to be taking over the town of Plimpton.
Is Avon, you acquire that being added to your district, is that kind of a little blessing in disguise? Because I do believe that there was a Brady that had held a seat, and you know, he departed us not too long ago. What, it was about a year.
Yeah, right in the middle of COVID in the spring of last year.
Yeah. Your brother was a selectman.
He was.
Select person.
And I certainly don't foresee myself filling my brother's shoes. He was the angel of the family. I was the youngest. I had an older sister, Cal, that raised her family in Whitman. My brother, Bob, lived in Brockton in Middleborough. Then he raised his family in Avon, and he was a selectman, as you mentioned. I was the youngest, so I used to kid that my parents kept practicing until they got it right, me being the youngest. But the truth was, after me, they had had enough. I was a change of life baby. My mother was 38, my father was 42. But my brother was very well respected, and he's missed by my family.
Yes.
You know, his
Bob's
kids,
a great guy.
Yeah, his kids are grown, but he had a grandchild that's about 10 years old, and I know he spends time with my sister-in-law to keep her busy, but it's tough on the family when you lose somebody. And so many people have lost families out there. My heart goes out to everybody. And, you know, especially when you have children, it's tough, you know.
Let's talk a little bit about, it seems that every time we have a legislator in here, one of the key things they want to make sure that they discuss or at least share, especially when it comes to the district, is the American Rescue Plan Act funding. I know that it has recently been assigned by the governor, and that it was in conference committee for a while before it was released and freed up. Kind of give the role as to what the Senate did when it was before them, the ARPA funding that we received from the federal government.
Sure. Thank you, Kevin. And this important federal funding has been so important to the Commonwealth. You know, the COVID money before this, the ARPA money, as you mentioned. And there's some money that goes directly to each community. I know, like, different communities like Brockton and some of the towns that I represent got money directly given to them. There is still some money that still has to be allocated. But we had a total of $3.6 billion of spending, and $2.5 was available through the American Recovery Act. And that money we were able to utilize through the state surplus resources. We got money for different initiatives for the district. Some of the money that I was able to get to my district in the town of Whitman, I was able to get some funding above, I'm looking at the figures here, about $80,000 for a World War I memorial arch. Clinical space for substance
abuse. That's in Whitman, right?
That's in Whitman.
Yeah, they actually talk about moving that because it's right next to the fire station.
Exactly.
And it's been, the way it's set up, my understanding is that it's engineered to where it's kind of put together. It's not fastened. It's this big car, and they're gonna have to figure out how to take it apart and move it somewhere that's going to be better served.
And, you know, even though we can never do enough for our veterans, we must never forget, and that was the war to end all wars, as we all know, and then we had World War II and several other wars since, but that was built in 1926 in memory of the Sons of Whitman and who made the supreme sacrifice. So I was able to get $80,000 in the ARPA bill to have that help to be moved to another location. And as I was mentioning, clinical substance abuse services, even with the COVID, when people couldn't meet with their advocates or addiction specialists or whatever in person, and again, it doesn't work over a video machine or whatever as good as in person, that's still an epidemic that we're facing. And I don't care if you hear if families are very wealthy or poor, it has affected so many families out there. And with the opioid crisis and all of that, so we were able to get some money in the budget for that. I was also able to get some money for economic recovery for vulnerable families, $550,000. And this helps people that might work in the medical field that don't have a certain degree. They're not a nurse, but they work in the medical field. They can get training to get a better job in their field. School on Wheels, which is a big thing in East Bridgewater, Brockton, several other communities. We initially had a small amount. I was able to get $35,000 added to that. Hanson Middle School, a soccer field. More kids play soccer. I played soccer as a kid, but I wasn't good enough to make the team.
You were more of a street hockey guy, weren't you?
Oh, I played street hockey, skated at the ponds with ice hockey, and actually I was a lot thinner than I ran cross country.
I can attest to that.
But I only graduated to the Falmouth Rotaries, never made it to Boston. But we got money for a soccer field in Hanson, and then for Haitian Community Partners, and also Haitian refugees, because there was a lot of immigrants coming into this country legally, not the illegal ones, and they need help getting established, settled out. And there was a waiting list, people who want to do the right thing to get their citizenship. They're not abusing the system, and there is a waiting list through the federal government, thousands and thousands of people trying to do the right thing. And they are working in the paying taxes. For instance, a lot of nursing facilities, which had a big epidemic with the COVID crisis, and it's still going on, they don't get paid much money. They're taking the lower end of the pay scale, but they're taking care of our families. And you want to make sure they're properly trained and vetted and so forth. So that's so important.
I have to, you mentioned COVID. Friday, we saw a daily spike higher than we've seen in some time. 10,000 positive tests here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Any concern by the folks up at Beacon Hill or in the governor's office? Has anybody murmured a word as to maybe we should start paying attention to this? Maybe we should, you know, talk about rolling things back like we did back last year? Or is it a matter of like, that's nothing to see here?
Well, the news that I've heard is the people that are getting COVID in the more serious cases are the ones that haven't gotten vaccinated. And that's a proven fact. There are some people that have gotten vaccinated. They may get a diagnosis with a positive case of COVID, but they're not ending up in a hospital ICU unit. They're more have mild symptoms. They may test positive, and we've got to protect ourselves. I was fortunate. I did get COVID last year around Thanksgiving. I had to quarantine for those 10 days. I had mild symptoms. I was very lucky. Some people were in hospitals. Some people had fevers at home. Mm-hmm. I took it easy for the 10 days and had my staff do errands and so forth. But and then I was able to get the booster shot about a week ago. But it's so important people get vaccinated. Now, it is a choice, though. Not everyone wants to get vaccinated. Not everyone believes that the vaccine is the best road to take or it's going to cure all. And it is proven that you can still get COVID after having the vaccine.
Yeah, you get breakthrough cases, yes.
Yeah, but the cases are much more not as drastic as if you didn't have the COVID. But most of the people in these hospitals that are now taking up the emergency rooms, and I've talked to doctors, I'm going to call once a week with our local hospitals in the Brockton area, as well as the Neighborhood Health Center and the Veterans, the VA hospital, and I'm also on a call with the state legislators who are on this committee to discuss what we're going to do. They are trying to get more test kits out there. Some of these facilities have ran out already. Mm. We get them from the federal government. There's a big debate should they have been more prepared in advance. You know, hindsight's 2020, but sure. Like our local neighborhood health centers, I know our Shaw Center in Brockton, they were giving out test kits, and then you can buy them on your own in some of the pharmacies, but those supplies were running out too. I know some people that had to shop around between local pharmacies to get the test kits done, and especially with the holidays, and it happened last year, they expected it this year, you know, between Thanksgiving, Christmas, family gatherings, and gathering with strangers in New Year's Eve, they're worried about. Again, no one can predict the future, but based on past experience, they think that the numbers will continue to spike through the first of the year, and hopefully by as we get into next year, the numbers will go down. And again, it's a lot of common sense, being safe when you're in big public safe situations.
You talk about those tests being in short supply. I think common sense is also kind of in short supply these days. It's not a pill you can take in order to be able to gain wisdom and common sense.
I don't think that ever ends being in short supply, unfortunately. But you know, doing the basic precautions, you know. They have left it up. The governor right now has left it up to the local cities and towns how they want to decide. Some towns have put a mandatory mask in every place, or in the public buildings, you have to wear them anyway, but or you have to prove you have been vaccinated. Some people, towns have shut down, not completely, but, you know, you want to try to help out the business, too, because they suffered during this COVID epidemic, and they're still suffering. A lot of closed in Boston. Some in my district were able to get grants. It's not a lot of money, but at least helps them stay above water for a while, whether it was a dry cleaner, a local restaurant, whatever. So that helped out a little bit. But we're still not out of the woods, and we got to stay diligently on top of things.
We just got a couple more minutes left with you, and I do want to take a moment to ask you if you can either look back in retrospect for 2021 legislatively, things that happened in the Senate, anything memorable that you felt that took place, whether it was, you know, hammering out the agreements regarding ARPA funding, or anything like that, or even finally returning to, you know, Beacon Hill to finally meet in person, what would you say is something that you recall or that you want to at least chat about for a moment or two in regards to 2021 as a legislator?
Thank you. One of the biggest important things was the Student Opportunity Act. You know, the Ed Reform Act was back to 1993. It wasn't enough to help out every community. And, of course, the cities, the less fortunate communities, get more money than the cities of town, the smaller communities of towns. But that is going to be the highest increase in funding. It got put on hold because of COVID, so that's going to be implemented in a quicker lineage time this year. You know, helping out animals, passing legislation about veterans has been important. There's money for infrastructure. That's another huge bill. Chapter 90 money coming in. Our roads are still in deplorable condition. I know Hanover's dealing with traffic issues. Brockton's dealing with traffic issues. Every community. And with all the new building going on in the town of Hanover, for instance, we need, you know, they are widening Route 53, but there's other roads coming into Route 53 that they got to be concerns about. And all the other towns, Route 18 still being worked on, and Whitman, and, you know, going through 27 and Hanson and 14. So that's a big important thing. A couple things I wish we did get passed was the sports betting. I hear from every community member in my district, blue-collar workers, it's legalized in other states. We're losing revenue that's going to other states. People can sit on their couches at home, sports betting on another state, like how many touchdown passes my cousin Tom Brady gets in a day or whatever. But the seriousness of it, it should have been legalized. I filed legislation on it. It's got bipartisan support. I know Bruce Tarr, who's a Republican up in Gloucester, great friend of mine, he's filed legislation. Eric Lester is the chairman of the committee. We got to get that moving. It's long overdue. And there should be no other holdup. We've already done the research on it, and everybody I know wants to say why not. And the money will come back to the community where the bet are being placed. So if somebody bets in Whitman, the money goes, they know where it's being bet in Whitman. If it's in Brockton, the same thing, in Hanson, whatever. So that's so important. Another big important...
Well, before you move off of that, again, we do have to, we will have to jump out of this this segment, although I haven't got the word that the senator is on. We don't have him on the line yet. The mayor on the line, do we? Mayor Hedlund, okay. As we are expecting Mayor Hedlund to be calling in.
Sure.
You talk about the sports betting. Well, where is it in the process at that legislation? Is it something that is working its way through committee, or has it, or is it going to cease breathing in committee?
No, it is still in the committee, the Economic Development Committee.
Okay.
and we've had hearings on it. They may continue to have other meetings on this, but you know, this fiscal year, this year goes for 2 years, so it goes through next year, so we still have time to get it done. I think it's long overdue, and I'll tell you, every blue-collar worker that I know, they are saying, why not, and what's happening? You know, I might have filed an amendment to our budget last year, which we got plenty of funding coming in. And the good news, revenue in the Commonwealth is at its highest level ever. Even during the COVID epidemic, revenue is coming in. You know, capital gains and other things have come in. So that has helped. But we still, you know, we can't depend always on the federal government and people, you know, increasing taxes on our constituents. This is a user-friendly thing. If people want to bet, like the lottery, which produces a lot of revenue for the Commonwealth, this is another way, and it's a people's choice whether they want to do it or not. And I hear overwhelmingly from my district that people want it.
But it's a matter of waiting for it to report out of committee.
Yeah.
And as to how the committee kind of sees fit, whether if they're going to do it favorably or maybe not so much.
And then who controls it? Because the casinos are already legal in Mass. They want their hands in the cookie jar, as they say. The slot parlors do. I think we should open up for the small businesses as well.
Well, if your constituents are tuned in right now and they want to reach out to your office, how can they do that?
Well, they can always call my office at 617-722-1200, 617-722-1200. In the new world we live in, we get more emails than anything, so that's michael.brady@masenate.gov.
Senator, thank you so much for stopping down here, and also give a shout-out to a gentleman who joined you. As you didn't come down here by yourself, you always have a someone in tow who's willing to kind of help distribute information. So thank you for both of you coming down here.
Thank you. Yeah, that's my legislative aide, Jim Bratton, who's done a yeoman's job. And anybody who puts up with me has got to have a place in heaven. So
we are going to step aside. And when we come back, more Monday Night Talk.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Each year, about 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced cancer care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical Faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
That truck, it pays?
What?
The bumper sticker on that truck says it pays.
Pays? Pays what?
I can't quite read it. Oh, it pays to stay way back.
Ah, what was that?
The truck, snap back or rock. Now I've got a broken windshield.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. It pays to stay way back. However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we are back. So usually, I have to say, when you're doing a segment, usually the best conversations happen during the break, and it was a little bit more extended than normal. I believe that we have online, we have the mayor of the great town of Weymouth joining us, one-time host of Monday Night Talk. Hello, Robert. How are you?
Merry Christmas, Kevin. How are you?
Merry Christmas, sir. And I am not. I'm not solo. I have riding as my wingman this evening, Mr. Mark Rocheteau.
Good evening, Mayor. How are you, sir?
Mark is to you what you were to me, huh?
Sure. If that's what you want to call it. Sure. If not, he's better. And we have. And he was waiting in the wings, but I've given him carte blanche to weigh in if he wants. Greg Hanley, County Commissioner, Plymouth County Commissioner.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
I'm surprised he has the time to be on the radio and he's not counting all that federal money that they've cranked out in the printing press that Plymouth County is hoarding.
Wait. Hold on. Now, which money are you talking about? Let's be specific here. Are we talking CARES Act or are we talking ARPA?
I don't know. Whichever one they're sitting on.
It's the voice of a jealous man. That's all I can tell you, Kevin.
Yeah, but I'm Norfolk County, so it really doesn't affect me.
Right. That's what I kind of figured. It does not affect you, but I think there's...
If you'd like to secede from the county, we'll take you on and down in Plymouth and then make it contiguous. We'll trade Cohasset for... Oh, no, Cohasset is part of it.
Yeah, they're the ones that may secede someday, if anyone, right?
So I would ask you, Mayor, how are things in the great town of Weymouth these days?
Depends who you ask. You asking me?
I am asking you, yeah.
Or are you asking Facebook malcontents?
Well... Listen,
there's Facebook malcontents in every town.
Yes,
it's amazing.
I've seen you're one of the few elected officials who will engage, but you'll only engage to a certain point with folks who am I wrong?
Well,
I was
involved in an intervention. Okay. And I took myself off of just about every of the Weymouth Facebook community pages. Otherwise, I was going to get committed into McLean for observation.
So, you know, we were talking a little bit about federal funding. I would think that Weymouth is going to get its fair share of ARPA money?
Between all of the various pots of relief monies... you know, it's not politically correct to say this, I guess, but we're getting more than we, in some cases, know what to do with. And some of the paperwork requirements to sort out what we can use it for has been difficult and time-consuming. Yes, so we have a lot of money that's getting put towards a lot of different uses.
How is Weymouth deciding what to do? Is this something where... Where does the town council weigh in on this? Is there a special blue ribbon panel that's being assembled for this?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because of the guidelines or the regulations, and you know, Greg can probably speak to this better than I can. It's being handled by Chief of Staff Langill, but because of the form of government we have, no, the council does not really have a role in determining where this is going.
Well, I know since you have taken office, you've done a lot of work and worked with a lot of different departments and community leaders to renovate and get a lot of projects up off of the ground. I mean, I was looking at Chapman School. The new Chapman School could be opening its doors within, you know, the next 8 to 10 months. Conversations about Columbia Square and the improvements in that area. You got a, you know, parks. I know you're big as far as getting some of the parks redone. Would this be monies that you put that towards, or are you looking more towards infrastructural needs that maybe you have old dated buildings that maybe they might need some kind of infrastructure upgrades for, like,
yeah,
internet and items like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, leading up to this, we've done more capital projects than just in the 6 years I've been in office than have probably been done in the last 50 or 75 combined, you know, outside of routine, you know, stuff like roads. And even on roads, we've been averaging, before I came into office, about a million two roughly a year. The last couple of years, we've been averaging 8 million. So one of the things this will allow us to do, the federal money, will go towards a number of projects that were in the pipeline. That'll free up some of the free cash that we probably would have put towards roads to allow us to do more road work. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. I'll give you one example. This is an interesting project to kind of give you an example. When I came in, we had kind of a dormant waterfront committee, and I kind of resurrected them and asked them to, you know, take a look and identify a project that they thought was worthwhile. And in the back of my mind, I wanted to go to Seaport Economic Development Council, because when I was in the Senate, Weymouth was the only town that never sought an Seaport Economic Development Council grant. So they identified a project that had been on the town's wish list for like 40 years, that had been identified in master planning, identified in studies, identified in the waterfront master plan, which was a beach connection project. So we got the grant from the state to do design work, and it's kind of a luxury. I always called it a luxury item. The town match came from developers who contributed towards it. So there were really no existing town funds that we used to get us where we are. It's 100% design. And when we got the design back and we got some cost estimates, we had sticker shock. And again, saying that it was a luxury item and not a necessity, we thought we were going to have to, you know, put it on the back burner. But it fit the guidelines of what the federal money can be used for, because it was a project that was quote-unquote in progress. So we're getting ready to put that out to bid. So that long-awaited project will be one beneficiary of what you guys are talking about.
Now, do you have anything could be deemed shovel-ready that could, you know, also apply to any of these federal funds?
Yeah, so that's an example of shovel-ready.
Okay.
The Columbian Square project that you noted, that's an $8 million project. Originally, we were supposed to get some funding through the whole MEPA review process tied to the development of Union Point. Obviously, that stalled, so this is going to allow us to go ahead and complete the improvements to Columbian Square and the traffic signalization. That's not going to let the future developer off the hook. They'll be forced to, address other issues under that MEPA process and funding.
When you look at 2020 and 2021, give us your thoughts on dealing with COVID on a municipal level.
Yeah, I mean, we were very lucky in the beginning. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a public health expert by any means. But, you know, I placed a lot of trust in my health department, relied on them. But the big benefit we had, too, was this enhanced partnership we've developed with social health systems and social hospital, where we gave them the ambulance contract, and they've been great with that. They partnered with us on a number of things, including our COVID testing site we set up that was free to all Weymouth residents. Because of that relationship, we've got a kind of a direct line to their experts, and their infectious disease experts, and we're in regular consultation with them. So a lot of the decisions we made were based on that consultation with them. So kind of got me off the hook a little bit, you know, and we relied on doctors to kind of guide us. Not that I have agreed with everything that they've suggested. I think we've been very liberal in interpreting things to allow our businesses to stay open. I'm guessing we were probably one of the first, if not the first, town hall to fully reopen on the South Shore. And, you know, to look at the State House still being closed now, we went back in July of 20, you know, and even up to that time, we still had most of the department staffed, but we had, you know, kind of a swing scheduling where some people would be working from home, but we kept all departments open. So, you know, I think it's impacted us a little bit less. And even though we were very liberal in opening up town hall, you know, and I think back to like early voting, I mean, there was a line of people outside my door for a number of days, you know, during early voting at the height of the pandemic. And we didn't have any outbreaks in town hall. So we're very diligent, you know, in how we cleaned and tried to stay on top of things that way. But, you know, I think it's silly that it's taken the legislature so long to get the building back open at the State House.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Weymouth Mayor Bob Hedlund, who is our guest, and kind of doing a little bit of a catching up and kind of a year in review, so to speak, conversation We have a few more minutes left with him. Greg, did you want to ask something of the mayor?
Well, just an observation, Kevin. You know, any municipal leader who's been in office for the last 18 months who has performed as well as Bob Hedlund has is an example of what it's like to manage crises. And the way, if you look at just the city of Weymouth, the town of Weymouth, just all the improvements that the Jackson Square, you look at the new school, the Route 18 corridor, the Library. Partnership with the South Shore Hospital. I mean, look at Weymouth Landing. My God, you can't even recognize the place. And it takes leadership. These things were on the drawing board. And then when you throw in COVID on top of that and then try to manage your school system, and I mean, it's grace under pressure. And I'm not just saying that because look at what's going on. When you can keep your fingers in, I mean, your nose in and your fingers out, he's partnering and letting his team actually manage. When you talk about the health crisis, to let your Board of Health and your health commissioner manage it and to be a resource for them, to be a facilitator. He's surrounded himself with good people over there. They're managing the town well, whether it's planning, as he talked about, with getting money for projects that have been sitting on the shelf for 40 years, to just doing the infrastructure improvements. The school over there is fantastic, the Chapman School. And look at that Veterans Field. My God, it's all, he's hit checking all the boxes while managing a crisis. It says a lot about his leadership.
And also winning, I think, a softball championship at the same time, too.
That's where the rubber meets the road.
And that is where the rubber meets the road.
We have a long history, yeah. Quincy Weymouth softball. I don't want to go there. There's wars involved and everything.
Yeah, we won the Quincy Men's League this year, and we had the team banquet a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and it was one for the books, I'll tell you.
Well, definitely congratulations. We know that you are the South Shore's version of Bill Lee, that's for sure.
Spaceman?
Yeah, he still plays. He still plays.
And I played against him a couple times, and I got to admit, my adrenaline was, because, you know, I was a huge fan of his as a kid growing up, and my adrenaline was off the charts, and I hit one off him. It was one of the longer balls I've ever hit, and it must have just been this adrenaline. And I'll tell you what, the guy is, like, super competitive.
Oh, yeah.
He got up an inning later, and he crushed one. I mean, he launched one to the moon. People don't realize he's a big, strong dude.
He is.
And he was a decent hitter.
Yeah, just because you throw him from the mound, he isn't one of those pitchers who you know, they're lucky if they have a batting average of a 100 or 059 or whatever. It's he's one of those guys, super competitive. And I want to say he was in the record books for being one of the oldest players. He played for the Brockton Rocks back in, say, 2007, 2008. It was kind of a whole shebang how it all came to be. But it was, I got to meet him and talk to him.
He was playing semi-pro up in Quebec.
He still plays.
Not long ago.
He still plays. So,
If I can, Kevin, just real quick to go back to, I appreciate the kind words from Greg, and you know, some of those capital projects you mentioned, the construction of our library. You know, we had a little bit of a delay because of the state telling us we couldn't continue building it because it wasn't an essential project like our middle school was. But I got to give a shout out the way the Landing is performing these days. You know, our retail shops are filling up, and the place has just completely come alive. And I mean, it was just decrepit, depressing. If you go back, you know, 5-10 years on what things looked down there, and you know, that happened during the pandemic where it's really blossomed. We've got a lot of great activity down there, and it's a real, real, true, vibrant village center now.
If you're just tuning in again, you're tuned in to 95.9 WATD. Mayor Bob Hedlund, as we're wrapping up this segment, I do have to ask you, knowing how politically active you can be from time to time, knowing that Governor Baker is not going to seek a third term, Campolito is not going to seek to run for governor. Where were you? When did you find out about it? What are your thoughts about the gubernatorial race coming up in 22?
I got a call from Lieutenant Governor. I guess kind of, you know, I'm on the B team, B League. I guess they had her call me. I didn't get the call from the governor, but you know, Coke and Quincy hears from the governor for that news. But I heard from the Lieutenant Governor. Yeah, you know, after the compressor station, Charlie sort of avoided Weymouth a little bit. he'll actually text me on music things, but he leaves the policy to Lieutenant Governor. But no, when she told me, I was disappointed because, you know, I think that she had her sights set on that for a while, and you know, I thought maybe they had a different kind of succession plan for her. But yeah, I'm disappointed. I thought overall we didn't agree on obviously some things, like the compressor station, but even though that federal government had most of the role in the siting of that, but I thought that I thought they did a great job, and I was hoping that kind of would continue with maybe her taking the reins over, at least giving a shot at running.
Sure.
So we'll see. I'm not excited about some of the folks in Greg's party that are running. Some of them I served with, and you know, I don't agree that it's cool to burn cities down, which one of the candidates that may get into the race has tweeted, things like that, but we'll see.
We definitely will see.
Bobby, other than Jeff Deal, are there any other, like, Republican candidates out there that may be on the horizon that we're not aware of that, you know, believe it or not, down in Plymouth County, I work with two Republicans, and we get along so well. I mean, Jared Valenzuela, former aide to you, I mean, we're proactive. I'm just curious, you know, for everyone out there, are there other candidates out there other than Jeff that may be interested?
Like a rising star.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I've never got more feedback from people than I did that week, and people texting me and calling me. And I'm saying, no way, I'm not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. I mean, even when, like, the congressional seat opened up, I didn't have that many people contacting me. But what it blows my mind that the answer to your question is no. I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard any rumblings, nothing from the grassroots.
Can I offer a name for you, Bobby?
Well, I'm just going to say, before you do,
yeah.
A couple of names that I saw on the paper, and I don't even remember all of them, I think they were BS. It was just maybe one person wanting to get their name in the paper that has absolutely no interest in running. But I think the problem is, Trump, the way the Republican Party is in this state right now, it's such a small, hardcore group. Trump has such a sway over them that Trump endorsement is just huge for Deal, and I don't know how anyone counters that. The way the Republican primary turnout is going to be, it's going to just be hardcore Trumpers.
I think if we look towards folks, and this guy, actually, you know him very well, Pat O'Connor. He's someone...
The governor?
I'm telling you right now, from my point of view as a Democrat and as someone down at the county, his representation of his district within the county, he serves the people. And much like yourself back in the day, you know I'm a labor guy, you garnered the same support of labor that Pat has. And there are a lot of issues out there for working men and women that have now, because of their occupation, have moved higher in the food chain and are looking for representation that is fair and balanced. And, you know, if you go to the two ends of the spectrum, liberal and conservative, it's the moderate. It's the person that's in the middle that, especially from a Republican point of view, whether it's Baker or Romney before them, that can get along with Democrats to get things done. And that's what I see paralyzing Washington right now. There's just such polarization on either end of the spectrum. And in Massachusetts, we've been able to balance it, not always friendly, but, you know, certainly moving towards solutions to problems.
That's a very interesting name you float, and I hadn't considered that one. My unvarnished response would be he is someone who does his homework.
It's true.
Very good legislator. I think he's maybe still a little green.
Yeah, he's well. I hate to say it, Bob. He's well spoken. Very well spoken. And if he's coming into a situation that he knows that they're going to get guns pointed at him, not physically, but individuals are going to be asking pointed questions. I've yet to see him at a point in time where he's stuttering and stammering, he usually is like he knows his stuff. So it's a valid point by him.
He does his homework.
He does.
And he works.
You know,
he rolls
funny,
up his sleeves.
It's funny. You know, I groomed him, right? That's why, right?
Oh, all right. Now take credit for
in his image. He sounds like Dia Pilata now. My goodness.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you one thing. He called me for advice just after he went in. Called me for advice on his very first vote, and he did the exact opposite of what I told him to do. And I think he realizes it was a mistake.
But you have to make those. You have to make those mistakes for it to be a teachable moment to be able to move forward. And you learn from you. You hope most people do. Last question for you, Bob, and that is. Did you at least think about it for a moment to run for governor? Did you at least, with people calling you, go, maybe I should think about it?
Be honest, initially, no. I'm just like turned off by politics right now, to be honest with you. At a lot of levels, and I've been at this for a while, and my initial reaction was I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, like I told you. However, there was one day. And I'm trying to think what got me ginned up. I was reading something, and I didn't like the way that some of the folks that are supposedly in the mix were kind of handling the question. And I did get my juices flowing one day, and I said, you know, I think I'd be competitive in a primary, but, you know, how does a Republican get through in this state these days, the way the media is, the way big media is in the state, and, you know, just the voting registration.
You should hire me as your campaign manager. Bobby, you should hire me as your campaign manager because, you know, you've kept your head down and your feet moving, and you pulled your head up for 1 minute, and you look around the town of Weymouth, and you look at, that's your story right there. Talk about your successes. No, look what you've done.
And this is a guy peeking over the fence from Holbrook just to see all this happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, someone who is coming at it as a mayor. I mean, you know, I saw Arrigo touting the mayor of Salem the other day and, you know, playing up the idea on how it would be great to have a mayor. I think she's looking at lieutenant governor, but there's a case to be made for someone with municipal experience being in that position. And, you know, they always usually designate lieutenant governors to be the liaison to municipalities and things like that, but I don't know. It's just like I said. I'm a little burnt out on politics, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but was it? I mean, Charlie was a former select board member in Swampscott, right?
Well, think about that, right? You know, it was later on he became. I don't know if he did that to kind of get that experience and burnish his resume or what, but that came later in his life, just before he ran for governor. But yeah, I'm sure that was helpful. Serving at that level. And the funny thing is, I never served in municipal government. I never held any elected position when I went into the state Senate. I mean, I literally parachuted in there from the private sector, which doesn't happen anymore. I don't think there's anybody, maybe one or two, but there's nobody really in the state Senate with any major private sector experience anymore. It's crazy.
But I hate to say this, and it's interesting, when you look at the two respective parties, the Democrats are usually the ones that work the ranks, they'll do the school committee, they'll do whatever other, they'll work their way up the level, where a lot of times, a lot of Republicans, you know, I've had conversations where they're out of the box, they're running for a state senate, they're running for state representative.
Not anymore.
But I'm saying is that's what you have. Is a lot of times I feel the younger Republicans, they would rather put all their money down and gamble it in one shot than try to work their way up and at least show that they're electable.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. I agree in that sense that, you know, we have rich Republican businessmen that wake up one day and go, hey, I'm running for governor. Yep. I'm running for Congress.
Yep.
They don't want to work their way up. And, you know, I give Christy Myhos credit, you know, who I beat my first race. You know, there was a well-to-do guy that was willing to run for the legislature. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some people mocked him, said it was beneath him to do that. Howie Carr mocked him for that. But I think we need more of that. You build a house from the foundation up. You don't build it from the roof down. You know?
Amen. There he is, Mayor Bob Hedlund, our guest. Mayor, we want to thank you for coming on, and I'll give you a jingle sometime after the new year to come back on.
Absolutely.
There he is. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, we're going to talk more politics here on 95.9 WATD. You're tuned in to Monday Night Talk.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD. WATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD. Invest your time in listening to Cape Retirement Radio and learn a smarter approach to investing so you can protect your future. Cape Retirement Radio, featuring Chris Letond, Thursday nights at 6:15 and Sunday mornings at 10 on 95.9 WATD.
If you want a drink, that's your business. If you want to stop, that's for Alcoholics Anonymous.
AA is an inclusive fellowship of individuals all around the world. The one thing you need to ask yourself is, am I ready to do something about my drinking problem? For more information, literature, and videos about Alcoholics Anonymous, go to AA.org. To find a meeting near you, call 617-426-9444 or visit aaboston.org.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right. We ran overtime in that. We kind of bled right into Greg's segment. But to be fair and equitable here, Greg did ask a question at 6:55 that kind of it perpetuated itself. So we knocked that one domino over. And gosh darn it, wouldn't you know it, it led to other conversations. And it, actually, I thought it was, we actually pulled something out of Mayor Hedlund that we didn't expect.
Well, you know, there's a willingness to participate, you know, not anticipate. And I think Bobby gets it, you know. So I think it's all fun and games.
When Charlie said that he wasn't running, I knew that Jeff Deal would throw his name, throw his hat in the ring. But I thought Bob was going to be somewhere in there, too.
He's certainly someone that could be considered. What I'm interested in, and who on the Democratic side is going to do it, who's going to actually reveal themselves as a candidate, because there's a lot of talk out there on who may or who could be. And if Ms. Healy doesn't run, what does that do to the race? I know down ballot there's going to be a vacancy in the auditor's position. I think that is going to draw people out. A certain segment of the population is going to come out and vote. I mean, you look down ballot, and what dominoes will fall when people make decisions. It'll be interesting.
Well, right. So if the Attorney General decides that she's going to jump, Maura Healey is going to jump, and she's going to be, I mean, she definitely becomes a favorite for at least to get the Democratic nod, right?
Absolutely. And but then her position's open.
Right.
Someone to run.
Right.
So down ballot.
So basically, you're going to have, at the top of the ballot, you're going to have a free-for-all.
Deb Goldberg, someone that's rumored that if Ms. Healy doesn't run, that she may run, you know, which is an interesting situation. And again, creates another vacancy in a constitutional office. And once you see that, you start seeing movement all around the electoral map, you know, statewide. So it'd be interesting.
Silly question. Where's Steve Grossman these days?
Steve Grossman's in the private sector. Great guy, great Democrat. Breathed life into the party back in the national level. I think he would be someone certainly able to run if asked. But I don't think he's in the situation now that he was, say, when he was treasurer. I think when you do serve for a certain amount of time, there's the public sector, and then there's the private sector, and then there's your personal private life. You know, and he's done a lot. I know he works hard for Democrats to support them and works diligently on statewide for candidates. Definitely someone who back in the day was considered liberal, who in today's party would be considered almost a conservative with the Democrats.
And one little known fact that folks don't know about Steve Grossman was if you went in his office, he had some of the best ice cream from around the Commonwealth in his freezer.
He was a big Brigham's guy. In fact, I think that's how he got elected.
You know what the key was for him was that he knew all the different ice cream stops. It amazed me because he had come in. He did a cable show with State Rep. Josh Cutler, and he knew within a 25-mile radius all the different ice cream stops.
You know, it's funny.
Peaceful Meadows, he knew. Heidi's Hollow. He knew all that stuff.
All those old politicians. I'll give you a perfect example. Plymouth County's own John Buckley knows where every single Irish pub in the county is. Just the way Mr. Grossman knew where the ice cream places were. It's kind
it's
of uncanny.
And Mr. Rush, I feel so bad. Like, we've frozen you out of this conversation. We're talking gubernatorial runs here, what-ifs.
Yeah, no, I've actually had my eye on the game and watching the governor and the lieutenant governor announce they weren't running. It was a shock to me. I thought they were doing so well. And it was nice to hear you throw in the name of Mr. Connors from Weymouth. I'm hopeful that it stays balanced no matter what it is. Because like you were saying before, Massachusetts has, I think, a good reputation of kind of working it out. And I feel as though regardless of who was in which seat on that political map,
sure,
the balance was always maintained in Massachusetts, and I hope that it stays that way.
When you talk about political leadership, especially at the top, when I was talking about pandemic, okay, look at the work that the Polito-Baker administration, I said that backwards, Baker-Polito administration has done. If you look at the leadership that was provided by someone who was in the healthcare industry, who helped craft public policy,
yep,
you know, it doesn't surprise me that there's a certain burnout factor, especially with the rebound of this variant. And, you know, he did a tremendous job and was the leadership we needed in place at the time. He wasn't so believing of the county when it happened, but I don't hold him accountable to that. He's done a tremendous job, and, you know, I don't wish what was put upon him, nor guys like Bobby Sullivan over in Brockton. In the first 100 days of his administration, not only did he have COVID, he was dealing with Black Lives Matter. And the way he handled it, okay, was the best of any response in the Commonwealth on that issue.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about elected experience, it's leadership, whether it's downtown construction in Weymouth. Look at the city of Brockton coming back vibrantly with all its development downtown and giving opportunities to, you know, people who are from the city.
But that spans three mayors.
Absolutely.
I mean, I want to say, I don't know if Jim, you want to add Jimmy Harrington's name in there.
Bill Carpenter's certainly someone. I mean, when you look at even Jack Units, look what he brought
Linda
to the
Belzotti.
Table.
Linda was huge, especially, I mean, she was the one who laid out the groundwork around City Hall, and that was supposed to, that would span outward.
The downtown is definitely on a comeback.
Yes.
And, you know, it's that leadership that believes in economic development, because that is the key that drives most cities and towns, is what does your downtown business community look like? And if you look at the development that's going down, they have a brewery, they have restaurants, they have unique opportunities. The new courthouse is over there. Government has fashioned a home over there. So now there is something to support business over there. And, you know, Brockton, the city of champions, is really making a comeback. The mayor does a lot of regional stuff, being now over in Holbrook. You know, I sit in on meetings that impact our borders. You know, he's a great guy, but he has great people working for them. And that's what I was saying with Bobby. When you allow your department heads to do their jobs, all right, you trust them to be professionals. I just hired a DPW director in Holbrook that in his first 30 days has probably saved the town close to $500,000 just on his oversight of public projects in Holbrook. So, you know, the leadership in the people that I see that are successful at the executive level surround themselves with good people. And if you trust them to do their job, I think many hands make for light work, you know.
Let's, while we have you for another 10 minutes, at least talking about this, because you're welcome to...
You'll have me logging now that my pay has shown up, you know, my compensation for being here as a speaker.
Coming up at 7:30, Jerry Thornton, Barstool Sports author. We'll talk a little Patriots, and you're welcome to commiserate and bemoan the fact of the last two games. But countywide, I want to get your take in regards to the county, comparing 2021 to 2020. What have the last 2 years been like for the county?
It's almost been schizophrenic in a way. When you look at the beginning of the us taking on the program of CARES and the criticism that we received, to now where we're being lauded by the White House for the work that we've done. It's been quite a transition. But again, when you look at partnerships and teamwork and leadership, Tom O'Brien is a tremendous, tremendous public servant. And he is the only certified treasurer in the Commonwealth that on the county level. He knew the bandwidth of his team, his people in place, and he put together the Plymouth County program. It's ironic that you say so. I got some well wishes from Bristol County Commissioner John Mitchell. And in his wishes, he said, you know, thanks for making county government relevant. And that's a direct response to our success with CARES and now our architecture of the county systems, meaning Bristol, Norfolk, and Barnstable, on their APA programs. It's modeled and fashioned after what we did with Plymouth County CARES and Tom O'Brien's leadership, along with the leadership of the other commissioners of the counties, because it was an easy decision for most to make. And now that the team is in place with Mintz Levin as the attorneys, Clifton Larson as the auditors and accountants, when you have these professional teams behind you to support your efforts, it's definitely something that's a national model. And so from 2020 to 2021, Plymouth County themselves is on the rise. There was a change of leadership. As you know, I had to step down as chair. But I'm proud of the decision to take on APA because we were cautioned against it because of the administrative oversight, the amount of reporting during this program versus CARES. CARES was very simple. It was a reimbursement program. You presented your check, your requisition, your warrant, and your check, and we reimbursed you. With APA, it's CARES on steroids. And ironically, here we are at the last week of CARES. CARES is coming to an end on the 31st of December. And we have, our communities have maximized every single penny and dollar given to them. And we're at the point we were talking earlier about testing kits. Plymouth County is going to be purchasing 100,000 kits with its share of CARES money to share with member communities. That's going to be on our agenda for this Thursday. And the treasurer called me today to see if that was something that I'd be willing to support. I'm unfortunately unable to attend the meeting, but I absolutely support him and the team down there. Frank Basler is our administrator.
Yep.
Oh, my God. The communication amongst our member communities, they've done a tremendous job. Jared Valenzuela. Young Jared has taken on APA. I was conflicted because my brother works for the county, and he's involved with APA. Jared and that team that they've assembled is doing just so much to maximize the return of investment of the federal government in administration. 1% overhead cost for administrating on CARES, and it's going to be a little higher than that with this program because it's just that much more entailed with detail. So, yeah. Things are going well in the county, for sure.
Looking ahead to 2022, what do you envision as far as the road ahead? Is it going to smooth out as it has in 2021 for the county, or could there be a few bumps ahead that you know you're watching for?
Well, what we're watching for is failure of the APA program, if anything. When you look at this resurgence of the variant, and when we all thought that the pandemic was coming to an end, it's now progressing to the point where it's actually going worse than it was. So if we are able to continue our stewardship of protecting the public and working with the member communities to get the number one things that in their hands, like testing kits, like supporting local boards of health, those are the types of things I think where the county can still work hard and improve upon CARES. Again, the leadership team, the communication effort down at the county with Jared leading the way has been good. And, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't speak about Sandra Wright and now the chief chair working with us not only to address that but to then go on the offensive. There's 100 acres down at the county that we just are preparing a request for proposal on the best and highest use of those 100 acres, whether it's residential, mixed use, education. We're going to work with the town of Plymouth to maximize the interest of the town and the taxpayers. And That's something that is on the agenda for 2022. Certainly our OPEB situation needs to be addressed, but we've been someone that is progressively and actively planned for that, again, under the leadership of Treasurer O'Brien. And then it's really working with our member communities to identify needs, really. If we can work with them beyond the COVID stuff and get back to business as usual and how can the county help them, I think that's what we're always open-minded to talk about. And as I think I've stated to you on this show before, this is my last. I'm not running for re-election.
Last rodeo on the county.
As a county
commissioner.
Again, I'm proud of the work we've done. Dan Pallotta, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention his name and the leadership.
I almost called him as a surprise guest tonight, but I just kind of felt that with Bob Hedlund and Dan,
That's like a WWE match getting ready to go. I would have loved to have been ringside to
I wasn't going to say
The steel cage lowering.
A couple of titans.
Oh, my God. You know? Someone's going to jump from the top. You know they're going to.
God.
That's what you have to worry about.
Yeah.
But no, I decided it was knowing that Bob was going to be on. I wasn't sure if you'd be here early enough to be able to interact with Bob. And oh, my goodness, it was a fantastic interaction between the two of you.
I go way back to my days in the Quincy City Council when he was a senator, and we worked together. And, of course, the softball thing is a real thing, you know.
Oh, I bet.
There's a lot of Quincy guys and, you know, want his, you know, head on a stake. But you got to admire the fact that a guy in his mid to late 50s, I think he's almost 60, isn't he? Still playing softball, I got to give him hats off.
But hold on now. Hold on now. You have to remember, though, that there are a lot of elected officials here in the county who are physically active. Tim Cruz, your district attorney, is a guy who skates, right?
He
plays a little ball.
Sheriff McDonald.
Sheriff McDonald, somebody else who also plays hockey. Oh, yeah, Mark, this is for real, yeah.
Street hockey?
No, we're talking ice hockey. There used to actually be a cable program that was done that was shared South Coast Hockey League that they were part of.
Nice.
And they had this big old trophy.
Okay.
And I believe that Tim and Joe won that trophy.
Yeah. Sheriff Bellotti, former Sheriff Bellotti, was a goalie with that group of guys. Yeah. And a lot of active guys. Jared and I are on the All American eating team down in the hometown of Plymouth, America's hometown.
You guys are like hoping to be the next Joey Chestnut of the South Shore?
Honest to God, we could really put on a show. I think, you know, he's invited me on the JV team a couple of times.
Actually invited a Democrat?
He did. After our meetings, we have dabbled in culinary experiences after 9. It's hard to find a good place to eat after 9 o'clock.
That could be it. I'm always someone who's always, I love creating cable shows. I love doing it. That could be county culinary. I'm seeing it.
I like that.
Of course you do, because I created it.
That's right. He's a producer, you know, and he's always after us to kind of do something. But I'll tell you what, the success story in food with your productions is Alex Bazant.
The Pizza Boys.
Thank you
so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As we were able to breach Cape Cod Cafe, Next Page Cafe, we're going Linwood, you're next.
I think the Union Villa. Have you been there yet? Over its
years
the Stoughton
ago.
Line.
I used to play on a softball team. I used to play on a softball team in Easton, and we used to go to the Villa afterwards for a couple of pops.
And have you been to the Next Page in Weymouth Landing?
Only to shoot a show.
Season
2 of Pizza Boys. Yes, episode 1.
I made a visit back with my entire family the other night to the Fowler House in Quincy, where it all began for me as a 10-inch pizza guy. I'm always good to talk about any kind of bar pizza anytime.
Oh, well, save the bar pizza. And if you want, you're welcome to stay with us. We got the great Jerry Thornton who's going to be, he's warming up the bullpen as we speak. Bronx Sport, of course. But he's going to be joining us in just a couple of moments. Let us step aside. We'll have you back on for more segments down the road because you love this radio thing.
I do.
Yeah, I know you do.
I have a face for radio.
Yeah, don't we all? We're going to come back in just a moment. Here on Monday Night Talk, 95.9 WATD. Jerry Thornton up next.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Peloton is ringing in the new year with so much new. With a Peloton bike, you get access to new classes, new music, and artist series. Get ready for fast, fun workouts with Peloton Boxing. They've also got new artist series. There are more than 100 artist series classes to pick from. For a limited time, experience it all with a $550 value offer on the Peloton Bike Plus, including $300 off the Bike Plus and free setup and delivery, a $250 value. Terms apply.
You know your closet well, but what does it sound like? Yes, your closet. Does it whisper your taste? Does it scream your taste? The new Stitch Fix Freestyle, your personalized store, gets to know your unique style and fit. Its selection transforms to show you only the looks and trends you'll love. With a store that evolves alongside your taste, your closet will scream, so you, without actually screaming. Introducing Stitch Fix Freestyle for women and men, your personalized store. We're so you.
By the middle of the week, so much news has come your way, you need your own team to sort it out. Lucky for you, there's Jared Valenzuela and the JV team to talk about the things you've heard and catch you up on some things you might not know.
I'm Jared Valenzuela. Join me and my guests as we have fun with current events and try to put things into perspective each week. Sponsored by Representative David DeCoste and Corey Welch of Boom Realty. Catch the JV team every Wednesday night at 6:15. Here on 95.9 WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right. Seventh inning stretch here. I don't know why I'm using baseball analogies here, but we have the great Jerry Thornton is joining us, a writer, podcaster for Barstool Sports, best-selling author from Darkness to Dynasty, and formerly known as Five Rings, now Six Rings, Super Bowl history of the Patriots. His two great books, still available if you need to get a late Christmas gift. And we're here to commiserate about the New England Patriots.
Yes. Essentially, if you have people in your life that you love and you think that they're worthy of joy, buy them these books.
Yes. Don't buy them a silly Mac Jones jersey because he may not be here next year.
No, but if you do, buy one from Do Your Pod, the Patriots podcast I run on Barstool Sports. And we had a very successful run of the Mac Jones ugly sweater.
Those appreciate are fantastic.
Yep. And my future credit is going to be executive producer of County Cook. What did we call it? County Cooking? County Cooking. Yeah, exactly. As someone who spent a lot of time eating food at County when I was incarcerated, I just know. You know, just once in my life, I've never been incarcerated, but just once in my life, I want to have somebody slop food onto a metal tray for me so I can look at it and go, what is this? You know, and just complain. I've never gotten to do that.
And what's fantastic is that line he just uttered, if you haven't had a chance to see his Week 16 knee-jerk reaction, that was a very line that she used as far as slopping stuff onto a tray into your disdain.
Wow.
Of,
you know what? I wrote that at 5 o'clock this morning. I swear to you, and I didn't make the connection.
I also love the idea that Mac Jones somehow was, he started to fill up that goat-sized hole in your heart.
Yes, yeah. Goat.
Again, direct quotes, ladies and gentlemen, from, if you haven't had a chance to take a look at his knee-jerk reaction, which actually, you got some praise from some notable individuals out
yeah,
on
this. Hugh Hewitt, one of the bigger non-Kevin Tachi talk radio hosts in America. And I don't know, like, he's a Browns fan and he hates the Patriots. And for some reason, he, like, quote tweeted something that I had written about. I was comparing the James Webb telescope and making reference to how it's going to see back to the beginning of time. And yet it still will never find a Belichick coach team that didn't force a punt. And he compared that to Roger Angel and Frank DeFord. First of all, I grew up reading Roger Angel. I loved Roger Angel. Like, just a great baseball writer. At least when I was a kid, I was like, this is beautiful, flowery prose. But not that pretentious crap about, like, you know, baseball is a metaphor for life and, you know, fathers playing catch with their sons. Like, he just wrote extremely well. And I never thought that someday I'd be mentioned in the same sense. So it's been a nice day for me in spite of yesterday's debacle.
You actually wrote that at 5 a.m.
Yeah, I get up at 5 and start writing.
Good stuff.
The knee-jerk reaction thing. It's the church. It's the rock upon which my church is built. I've been writing them since Barstool existed. I used to do it on a Patriots message board.
Sure.
And it just was like, my head's full of a lot of weird things. I'll just write them in no particular order. And it kind of got some traction. But when I started writing a Barstool, I sent him a sample. He says, these are great. Keep these going. And I've not missed one since probably 2002. And it takes me a deep breath. I'm going to be here for 5 hours writing about every minutia I can.
I was going to say, easily it was a 2,500 word count. 2,500.
Yeah, maybe more money.
Yeah.
I always say, this week I'm going to be quick.
There were a few times I'm like, Jerry, take a breath.
Yeah, it's just hard. I don't want to leave.
Well, let's collectively look at Mark in on this. Mark's been kind of the silent.
Sorry, Mike, I've been jibber-jabbering.
Silent Bob over here. No, yeah. I just have to...
But Silent Bob comes into the movie at the key points to expound something. So this is your key point.
So the angst has built, and I have to ask the question, what has gone wrong?
Yeah.
Because I've been vested. I was vested when Tom left. I was hopeful for Kim. Saw the lack of talent. We have now the young Mac Jones.
Yes.
Who actually, on occasion, will show that magical finesse, like dropping that pass between two defenders, having the cool head and trying to make the comeback, winning the game with just runs.
Yeah,
and now
then
all
he turns
of a sudden,
into Tony Eason.
It seems like we've had I don't want to say a meltdown. I don't want to go to that place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking for hope.
Yeah. Well, there's kind of two tracks here. One is Jones in particular. And he got off to a poor start in the Indy game.
Yep.
And then rallied and then got off to a poor start in this one. It actually, you know, 3-and-out, then put together a nice drive, and it was kind of hit or miss. But their defense could not make a stop. Part of me is worried, concerned, I guess a better word, that Jones maybe has gotten to that point where he's never played this much football before. His senior year at Bama, bowl games included, 13 games. And he's now at games 16. Mm. And, you know, and college players, too, they get to Thanksgiving. And they shut it down for a month waiting for their bowl game. Yeah. They're not certainly not going to classes.
Nope.
You know, they're just kind of practicing for their bowl game and testing the limits of their school's sexual conduct policy in a lot of cases. And Jones is committed relationship, so not an issue there. But that's part of my concern, just because yesterday, to your point, the first time we've seen it be inaccurate.
Yeah.
Like, not bad decisions, not like they're coming at him too fast, just missing guys.
Yeah.
And that's a concern. The team itself, the fact that the last couple of weeks they haven't been able to make stops, you know, that's deeply concerning to me because, you know, Buffalo's a good team, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Allen, very talented receivers or whatever. But not getting a 3-and-out, not being able to – I counted one negative play yesterday by Buffalo, one.
Yep.
It was Kyle like Becker. a tackle for a one-yard loss or whatever. So, my anxiety level has gone up. But
yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head. I mean, from what I was seeing, my question is, do we have defensive issues?
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it seems like.
Yeah, well, you know, the week before, they gave up a touchdown on special teams, 7 points right there.
Yeah.
Then a missed field goal. Someone jumped offside. They get to re-kick it. They get the field goal. That's 10 points. What was the final score of the game? They lost by 10 points right there. They should win the edge in special teams every single week without fail. They didn't. Maybe just the bye week stunk. I'm going to go back to blaming it on the fact that Belichick apologized to the press. Like, that's changing the whole space-time continuum right there.
We like that, Mean Bill.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He's an insult comic. You know what I mean? Like, I loved Don Rickles. We all loved Don Rickles. The one part of Don Rickles I didn't like was when he'd go, but you know what? These are all just jokes here. We all love each other. Like, yeah, we know it, but you don't have to say it. Just keep hammering Frank Sinatra. Don't tell them that you love them. We don't want that. So, you know, maybe that was the case. And hopefully Belichick has learned his lesson because, I mean, the efforts there, they just weren't making stops. They weren't tackling well. They were out of position a lot. And if a football never travels in the direction of N'Keal Harry again, it will be too soon for me. I don't want to scapegoat one guy.
He should be proving himself for his next contract.
Yes.
And right now, he's the equivalent of a blocking tight end.
Yes. Someone came up with this this stat today. I apologize for not being able to take to credit the person who did, but said in his career, he's had 98 targets. First of all, terrible. I mean, like, DK Metcalf was drafted 32 picks after him. He gets 98 targets, like, in a good couple of months, you know? So 98 targets, 47% of them have been either an incompletion, an interception, or a fumble. That's air raid sirens right there. That is, get to a shelter. This is a disaster about to happen. And so, yeah, I don't think it'd be back.
But so I was teasing my colleague before the mics were hot earlier in the show, and that was the bright side is the Patriots are going to have a winning season.
Yes. Yep.
And all the rest of this is gravy. Am I wrong?
Yeah, and likely a playoff spot. I mean, that's still very much in play, even though there's been two losses. It's a weird year in the NFL. Yep. It's really bizarre. Teams that start out terrible have gotten crazy hot. The Pats, you know, were playing well but not well enough, so they start 2-4. Mistakes here and there cost them a couple of those games. Then they run off 7 in a row. Then they get the bye week, and like, it's a likelihood they're going to win the division and host a playoff game, and then you know they mess up in Indy, and then this semi disaster yesterday. So it's a crazy year, but get in and let's see what happens. You just would prefer that they're playing their best football as it starts, as opposed to playing worse in December. We're not used to that, you know.
Well, that's what Patriots football is. Is you can lose a game here and there in September and early October, but you better be playing your best football right around Thanksgiving, straight through the end of the year.
Yes, and at least figure out what you do best that you can rely on. And to me, what they do best is get big, pound the ball at people, make them adjust, and then start working the edges of their defense, which they were doing yesterday, but then the game got away from them and they had to start making some quick scores, which they got. You know, there was some terrific throws there by Jones. I mean, one in particular, he hit Kendrick Bourne like right on the sidelines, a toe tap that was beautiful. You know, hit someone in his face. And he lofted this beautiful corner route to Jacoby Myers, who continues to just play out of his mind, and his payday is coming. But when your defense can't ever bring a punter on the field and can't force a turnover, then you're not going to win those games straight up.
To dovetail on that, I have to ask the question, are we missing Stephon Gilmore?
No.
They've been too good for too long to fall back on that. I mean, because J.C. Jackson has really established himself as a number one corner.
Had to ask the question.
But I mean, Stephon Gilmore wouldn't hurt. Don't get me wrong, you know. But he was not going to stay. And hey, you know, let's not get too down on that. They get a 6-round pick for him in 2023.
Sure. Right.
So if you're someone who's maybe like, you know, terminally ill, maybe you're losing hope, something to live for, stay alive long enough to see that 6-round pick turns out to be.
Hey, we've seen what a 6-round pick can turn into.
Well done.
Greg, did you want to say something?
I did. Kevin, first of all, Barstool Sports. Now I know why my son is a disciple. He's down in Miami. He's a New England fan. He tunes into your stuff all the time. The observations that you provide just now.
Spot on.
Spot on. Absolutely. Spot on. But not in the system. One of the things that I noticed in the past couple of weeks, since the bye, because I think a lot has come unhinged, I think they really missed Dante Scarnecchia in discipline. That offensive line yesterday with two key penalties, if you remember, just kind of changed momentum when we were coming back. I always converse with my son on these matters when I have to, and then he always references Barstool Sports. And just for the record, the Hanley clan is gathering down in Miami for the Miami game. We purchased the tickets in July. We never thought Mr. Irrelevance game would mean anything until this week. And so now I'm going to say I was sitting next to greatness here at WATD.
I'll get a picture before he leaves.
Absolutely. Yeah. I need some swag, too. I think I'm going to need to bring that down there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry I didn't bring anything.
Did you really want swag?
Yeah. Oh, you
Can. ATD swag. I get it all the time. It's how they pay me here.
I wish I had known.
This
I would
an upgrade.
I wish I'd known. I would have. I would have. Sprott Zone. No. I'll give you the hat off my head if you want.
But, no.
You know, in the days of COVID. But no, thank you very much. And you guys, we're going to be counting on you because that's a big game. A couple of years ago, I went to the final game of the year. I brought my entire family. And for a lot of reasons, because it's my job or whatever, I had never taken all four of them. So my wife and my two kids, and they wanted to do it. So great. So I bring them to the Miami game, the last game of the season. As it turns out, the last regular season game of Tom Brady's career. Pats were winning late. All they had to do, just get off the field. They would have had a bye week. And Fitzmagic just put this drive together. It was like a slow form of torture.
Methodic.
There's a constitutional amendment against the kind of suffering that this thing inflicted on us. And I walked out of there back to the tailgate scene in this like fugue state, you know, like just staring into the middle distance, tossing the keys to my 18-year-old designated driver, and it was bad. We can't have a season end like that. We've fortunately, they got Jacksonville. Miami's one of those teams that weirdly got hot, so you're going to have to. We're counting on you to bring
us a surprise. I told you.
Well, yeah, but and also was it the year before that the Patriots were up, and for some reason the last kick of the game they ran it back and they were able to they beat the Patriots by a score.
They did the hook and ladder thing. Yep,
that's
and
what
they,
I thought.
They put
2 years ago.
Gronkowski was on the field for that.
Yeah, play. He missed the tackle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was down there because they thought they were going to go for the Hail Mary. So put your 6'8" tight end out there, and instead they just did the lateral thing and just absolute state of shock. Yeah, boy, there's been a lot of that in Miami. Remember the year when they had Brandon Bolden? And
yeah, when he was the enemy.
And he ran two touchdowns against the Pats. He didn't have double-digit carries for the Patriots in like six of his 8 years. Double-digit carries in a season. And he ran like a 38-yard touchdown or something. Like, what's happening? Miami's a strange play. It's like Denver. Chula. There's some weird like vortex that takes place there. It's some weird like hot spot in the paranormal or something.
Talk about the resurgence of Bolden. I mean, he has been Mr. Relevant these last three or four games.
Oh, I would say it goes back to a couple of games after James White got hurt. And so it seemed like, all right, well, they need that third down back. J.J. Taylor maybe will be that guy. I mean, he's 5'1", I think. You know, I think he's he's one of the lost Lannister child. But, you know, okay, he looks like he's going to be it. And they were throwing these screen passes to Brandon Bolden. I'm sitting there going, who thinks that's a good idea? And then he figured it out, and he became James White. I don't know who on that coaching staff had the wherewithal to look at him and say, he can be a pass-catching back because he's a bottom-of-the-roster guy and a core four special teamer who, like I said, will go seasons with seven carries in a year. And those are all, you know, it's a four-touchdown game. I just give it a Bolden.
Garbage time.
And he has been just a revelation. So there's something with that team that the adults are still in charge, and they understand what they have and how they can process a guy and how they can utilize him. I mean, real quick, look at what they did with the wide receiver that we got. Oh, geez. He was drafted by Minnesota. Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, yeah.
And total underachiever.
Missed everything.
And they just figured out ways to get the ball
now
in his hands.
Atlanta's
and
doing
he's
it.
Made three more stops since then. And
Chicago,
they
Atlanta,
other
yep.
teams use him the exact same way the Patriots did.
He's the Swiss Army knife.
They figured out. But nobody before that said, why don't we put him in the backfield and
see what he can do?
To toss plays. They tried to turn him into a receiver. And now no one tried to turn Brandon Bolden into a third down back. Go figure.
Okay, we're speaking with the great Jerry Thornton, Barstool Sports, as well as author of two great books that you can still get online. I have to ask this as we move our conversation forward here. Can they win the next two games?
Yes.
Because we know that for some reason, one of the two wins that Jacksonville has came against Buffalo.
Yep.
And they've shown that they can at least stay in games, not that they got rid of Urban Meyer. And Miami's that X factor.
They can win both those games for sure. They're going to be huge favorites against Jacksonville. Well, they should be. The Miami game, I'm fascinated by it. There's no way, though, I could just sit here and go, I know their clear path to getting a playoff spot is to win these two things and nothing else matters. Because I don't know. It's so convoluted this year. You know, maybe missing the playoffs is in play for sure. But I still have faith in this team. I still believe that their defense can figure it out and be elite. They, in spite of what we saw yesterday, you know, they led the league in fewest points allowed going into this one. And you know, strange thing that's going to make this Miami game so fascinating is these two teams know each other inside and out.
Yeah,
there's nothing that's going to be said by either team that the other coach is going to go, what is that? What? I never saw that before. Kyle Van Noy, like, was in that system a year ago. It's, yeah. You know. And
so he knows it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's going to be, you know, thank goodness we have this to worry about. Because last year was just like, I don't know, should they just lose the rest of the way and just try to get a better draft pick? I mean, they got to find a quarterback, clearly, because by this time we had realized Cam Newton was never going to be the answer.
Yeah, and I think that was a blessing in disguise. Cam Newton being picked up by his old team, going back to Carolina. And, you know, the first game was all adrenaline and magic.
Yep.
It's kind of, it's downhill with, there's no brakes to stop this thing. It's going off the edge.
I've said to you before, Kevin, I like everything about the guy until he's throwing a football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like him as a guy, as a leader, you know, hail fellow, well met, big personality, style icon, and whatever. It's just when he's throwing a baseball, which, you know, let's face it, I've never once, like, you know, gone into surgery and pulled the nurse aside and said, so the doctor, good guy, gives out nicknames for everybody? Is he really good? Like, I just want to know that he's a good surgeon.
Yeah.
You know, I never ask, like, if I'm in a hostage situation, I never want the police to send their most fun-loving hostage negotiator. No, send me the best guy you have.
Yeah. He's going to be a good guy, people person.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you need.
How's that pilot? Really good? Yeah, he's not so good at landing planes, but he's terrific, you know, to hang out with. Like, yeah.
Like N'Keal Harry.
Like N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick out a scab for a moment here, okay? I have to do it. Just a couple of weeks ago, everybody was all giddy and, could it be Bill versus Tom in the Super Bowl? Super Bowl 56? Is that a foregone conclusion now? Is it safe to say these Patriots are going to do okay, but let's not put the cart before the horse?
In all likelihood, they're going to have to win three games on the road.
I think Tom did that last year, didn't he?
He did, on the road to do it. So it's a big ask. You know, it really is. And Brady was also, but long ago at this time, had taken over the offense. And just, I'm convinced that Bruce Arians, Brady went to him with a wire cutter and just clipped the mic off of his helmet, his headset, and just said, just stand there. Just be a figurehead. You're Queen Elizabeth now. Just wave, and that's it. And took over the entire team. You know, it's one thing to ask him to do it with surrounded by the talent that he had. Asking Mac Jones to do it right now, where we don't know if Aguilar is coming back. Jonnu Smith, I've actually issued an Amber Alert for him. I'm not sure where he is. I hope he's safe. He was on the field. Wouldn't know it.
Yeah,
you know?
Last year he was catching passes for touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly.
Why he got this pile of money.
I keep waiting for his breakout game. I really, truly do. Again, nice guy, great energy,
sure.
Blocks hard. But yeah. A couple of weeks ago, it was the most likely scenario, and it was only like a 10% scenario, but the most likely scenario was Patriots against Tampa, which, if it happens, is going to crack the universe.
But if healthy, I mean, they can compete. They put together a string of runs. They had some tough losses. The Dallas loss at the end.
But they were right. They were in it.
Tampa. So that's what I'm saying. If healthy,
right?
Who is missing from the season long?
Who's been out all season long? Well, James.
Well, not so much. So what are the missing ingredients that get us back to that 7-win?
Yeah, Ramondre Stevenson. If he was part of it. And you had Aguilar part of it. I think that would have helped out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you had Harry in there to basically spell Aguilar.
Yeah, and I meant to write this today, but I should have. But, you know, I was tired.
Can't amend that.
I was tired. Yeah, was that, you know, Aguilar, if he does nothing else, impacts a game because, you know, he led the league in yards per catch last year. Yeah. And so teams have to account for him deep. And what I've seen the last 2 weeks after he got hurt in Indy and then being out yesterday is there's no yards after the catch with this team. A lot of times they catch a ball, they come back on it, and everyone's flying, coming downhill, you know, playing from top down, and so they
nobody
get
with
limited.
That breakaway speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they catch it, turn around, and go.
Yeah, you get kind of closed in into this confined space, and no one's beating that stuff deep with seam routes and go routes and whatever. So, you know, give me Aguilar back, and give me Stevenson, who has been a revelation so far this year, and Christian Barmore had another great game. I mean, ultimately, we're going to look at 2020 and say, good thing that happened. You know, that was just the year between the Sox getting having Clemens and having Pedro. You know, because if they didn't lose those games in December last year, we don't have Jones. Maybe we don't have Barmore. We don't have Stevenson, and, you know, we don't have that to build off of.
What about Tom? Tom, if you look at the Bucks, I mean, they're coming off of being, you know, gassed by the Saints, right? But they were able to rebound and take care of business this week. Can Tom make it back into the Super Bowl?
A lot of losses there, too. Chris Godwin out for the year or whatever. And you know what? If you're going to hitch your wagon to Antonio Brown, this mercurial man-child, this raging me-first narcissist, good luck. And now they've brought in Le'Veon Bell, who, the last I looked, Le'Veon Bell was dating Antonio Brown's ex or the other way around. I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to find. Because Le'Veon Bell, like, the least crazy thing he's done recently was lose $500,000 in jewelry to two women he had brought home that he just met. He kind of did the, okay, you guys, stay there. I'm going to go take a shower. And then they bugged out. And, like, that's the least crazy thing he's done. So,
and he was also, he was on a Super Bowl contender as well, Kansas City. And Kansas City, you just go, yeah, where else? I want to say Kansas City and Baltimore. Maybe I'm wrong.
He got let go by the Jets. When the Jets can't use
that
you.
That says something.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that he signed with the Jets was probably crazier than anything else he's done. Like, who does that? You can play other places and you choose there. So Brady's road got steeper, but all of a sudden Arizona's falling to pieces or whatever. My brother called me today and he said, okay, I'm taking a survey. You have one quarterback to win a game for you with the fate of the world riding on it. Who do you pick? And I said, I'm still going with Brady because there's a lot riding on it. He's the guy who steps up in that moment, more so than Aaron Rodgers, more so than Mahomes. So,
what did you think of the last game where he lost his composure and more or less they're saying he lost the MVP? Based on way he was treating the officials.
Oh, he F-bombed the opposing coach after he threw a pick. It was like clapping from the sidelines and went out of his way. Where was the flag, by the way, on that? Where's the taunting flag on that? Meanwhile, Mac Jones basically gets like mayhem committed against him, like four steps out of bounds. And the refs go, like,
I didn't see anything.
Yeah, he got horse collar tackled out of bounds. But, you know, he's a rookie, so to heck with it.
Well, listen, Jerry, thank you so much for coming in.
Greg,
thank you for staying. Mark, great job in the wingman position.
Thanks for having me.
Great job behind the glass by Larry Nelson. Hey, we'll see you all in the new year. You've been tuned in to Monday Night Talk here at 95.9 WATD. Until next week at 6:15 p.m. Have a great evening.
WATD FM Marshfield.